March 21, 2023. My name is Jaron Jackson. I do love America. Today is Tuesday. For me, it's always about the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection. Believe the gospel. Don't go to hell. Be a sinner who has his sins atoned for by the blood of Jesus Christ and go to heaven. Believe the gospel. I want to start off. People will say that if you start off with an advertisement, you get much better traction. So I'm going to start off with an advertisement. Here is my first advertisement. Watch this.
This portion of CBS This Morning, sponsored by Pfizer. Oh.
Good Morning America is brought to you by Pfizer.
CBS Health Watch, sponsored by Pfizer.
Anderson Cooper 360, brought to you by Pfizer.
ABC News Nightline, brought to you by Pfizer. Making a difference. Brought to you by Pfizer.
CNN Tonight. Brought to you by Pfizer. Early Start. Brought to you by Pfizer. Friday night on Aaron Burnett Out Front. Brought to you by Pfizer.
This Week with George Stephanopoulos is brought to you by Pfizer.
No. Today's countdown to the royal wedding is brought to you by Pfizer.
And now a CBS Sports Update brought to you by Pfizer.
Meet the Press Data Download. Brought to you by Pfizer.
This portion of CBS This Morning, sponsored by Pfizer.
On how to find the hidden sugars in the American family diet. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Amen. And if you actually want to support this broadcast, this live stream, this ministry, this war effort, however you want to package it, please be a member at livelocal.store. You can get hats and hoodies. And people are asking a lot about the Live Local Field Manual. The Live Local Field Manual. This was written a couple years ago, designed for individuals in a time of chaos, murkiness, and tumult to have action steps and Christian values for the day. This has over 1,000 ideas on how you can, as a little know-nothing person with no platform and no money, build up and escalate. And the very end of the Live Local Field Manual talks about using a militia. So you go from little bitty person to using a militia, and it tells you how to grow it. So I'm just going to put that right there. You can get that at livelocal.store. Of course, the monthly membership is a blessing for me and all the things that I do herein. Thank you very much. I want to talk about Don't Tell the People This. Yesterday, Godless Commie, Dear Leader Joe Commie Biden in the White House, the resident of the United States of America, he signed his first ever veto. And he did that veto over a couple different things. But before I focus on the veto, what I want to focus on is the framework. Because if I can pull out a disparity, you may have been told and you may know that Switzerland has this notion of neutrality, that Swiss is perfectly neutral, that in World War II and World War I, Switzerland, despite it being in the very middle of Europe, is able to not participate and do stuff in all these world wars. How is that? And so Swiss has a national and a very prominent role of neutrality. But yesterday, it was announced that Switzerland was going to be doing something very not neutral. So I want to play this, what the Swiss bank is doing, and then I want to play Joe Biden's veto. And we're going to go somewhere with this. So with this, this is the Swiss bank announcing that they're going to be doing a bailout. Watch this.
The bankruptcy of a global systematically important bank would have caused irreparable economic turmoil in Switzerland and throughout the world. For this reason, Switzerland had to take the responsibilities beyond its own borders. These efforts have paid off. The Federal Council is convinced that UBS takeover of Credit Suisse has laid the foundations for greater stability both in Switzerland and internationally.
So if you look at the history, Switzerland has historically been neutral. And yet here is Switzerland announcing that its central bank is going to be bailing out other banks. The first thing that I want to communicate here is that you don't teach the people that it's not actually about different nations operating sovereignly. It's now about a worldwide banking system that is in place, that is private, that is outside of the governance of the governments that are governing the people. This is the first thing that you don't teach people. The first thing that you're not supposed to teach people is that the Rothschild Central Banking Federal Reserve System is in control of multiple governments and multiple nations. You have a private entity that is outside of public accountability, and this private entity outside of public accountability is what's actually driving things. So much so that the Swiss banks you've ever heard, you know, give it to a Swiss banker, they have neutrality. Swiss wasn't participating in World War II, World War I. It's not really participating anywhere. And yet its central bank is saying that it's going to participate outside because of the duty. The duty is greater than the sovereignty and the neutrality of Switzerland. What's going on here? What's going on here is that the central bankier system is more powerful than the governments of these nations. That's the first thing that people aren't supposed to be taught. What's the second thing people aren't supposed to be taught? Well, for this, we go to dear leader Joe Godless-Commie Biden, the resident of the White House. He signed his first veto yesterday, so let's examine this through a political lens. Go ahead, Joe.
I just signed this veto because the legislation passed by the Congress would put at risk the retirement savings of individuals across the country. They couldn't take into consideration investments that wouldn't be impacted by climate, impacted by overpaying executives, and that's why I decided to veto it. It makes sense to veto it.
Now, does anything make sense to this man? A hook, a hook, a hook. Why did he veto this? He said because there was legislation that came to his desk, that put on his desk that retirement and savings, 401ks, social securities, pension programs, these types of things, could not be invested in investments that didn't preclude them from being invested in ESGs, which is the emotional social scores, climate change, diversity, equity, and inclusion programs, stuff like that. Basically, bipartisan, wide bipartisan congressional support for unhitching savings, pension programs, social securities, 401ks, IRAs, those types of things. People did not want to. The U.S. Congress, bipartisan majority, did not want to have those investment vehicles have money or put money into notions for climate change and notions for social justice and diversity and equity and inclusion. Right? Like the U.S. Congress, Democrats, Republicans, the right, the left, conservatives, liberals, all of these people were recognizing the stupidity of investing in climate change and those types of things. And so they wrote a bill. They put legislation. They said, hey, we don't want people's life savings to be put into stuff that sucks and is dumb and doesn't make any sense or bad investments. So we want people to be able to freely invest in all sorts of things. You know, free market capitalism. And so here you have a bipartisan effort. It makes it to Joe Biden's desk. And if you have any basic civics understanding, you know that if it passes through the Congress and it gets to the president is able to veto, and that's what he did. The very first veto in Joe Biden's residency was to undo and to stop the fact that Congress, Republicans and Democrats and all these people, Congress did not want, does not want the people's money, the retirement, to be forced and obligated to climate change and all these other stupid things. So they want your money, Congress wants your money, to be able to be invested in things that make money and not to be forced into stuff that takes your money and costs you it. And Biden vetoed it because he blamed MAGA Republicans like Marjorie Taylor Greene. Now think about this. Step back and think about this. Right now, you are probably rightly upset the fact that your life savings or your pension or your 401k or whatever is now going to be obligated. Excuse me. It's now going to not be protected to be invested to other things. Instead, it will probably be obligated to go to stupid stuff like Greta Thunberg, who, by the way, is going to get a doctorate of theology. She's going to get an honorary doctorate of theology. Interesting. But there's going to be stupid stuff like Greta Thunberg, like let's save the baby seals and stop driving cars and all this other kind of stuff. So you're going to be paying your 401ks, your IRAs, your retirements, and all those kinds of things into this stupid stuff. Now, hold on. Put together. Central banks in Switzerland are going to defy their tradition, age-old national policy of neutrality, and they're going to start buying out other banks. That's the first thing we led with. The second thing we're leading with, and the first lesson was that you're not supposed to know that a Federal Reserve Rothschild central banking system is what's more powerful and governing governments. You're not supposed to know that, but yet that's what Switzerland is doing. The second thing is now Biden is saying that we're not going to allow your retirements to be invested in other things that prevent them from investing in climate change. Do you think that climate change is really what these people are after? Or do you think that climate change is the auspice, the moral red herring that gets people who worship government, who worship the earth, who don't worship Jesus, to get them to be morally supportive of climate change? Oh, look at this. There's a girl. She's on the autism spectrum. We absolutely know she knows everything. I agree with everything that she says, right? Sarcasm. And if that's the case, you will get people who hook themselves into that moral culpability. And they will say that you are evil if you don't support climate change. You hate people if you don't support climate change. You're a nasty conservative. You're greedy. You want your money if you don't want climate change. And so that's all these godless commies need. These godless commies are going to feed their piglets through the trough of deception and despair and propaganda. They're going to say, worship the earth and save the earth and all the earth is going to be destroyed. And then people are going to be like, that's right. We need to absolutely do that because we don't need Jesus. We don't need the gospel. Let's absolutely do that. But in reality, what's really going on is that now all these people's 401ks, their IRAs, their savings plans, they can be directed all this climate change effort. And if you can direct all these people's life savings, all their compounded interest, all that stuff, if you can direct all of that into climate change crap, well, now the climate change crap seems to be copacetic with the folks that run the central banks that are defying age-old notions of neutrality. And if the Swiss bank central Swiss bank is now defying neutrality and buying out other banks, and now Joe Biden is going to veto 401ks, IRAs, pension programs, and those types of things, those nest eggs, he's going to veto the protection of those nest eggs, which necessarily means that now they could be diverted into climate change stuff. Don't you see the pipeline of the money? Don't you see how you invest and now it's getting redirected back into stuff? It's funny money. This is how there is a closed feedback loop. Congress yesterday was trying to allow, for some reason, although I would say that it's not their job, but they're trying to write laws that would at least allow you and your pension program, your IRA, that kind of stuff, to not get funneled into this garbage. So then that's the second idea. The second idea is don't tell these people that their pension and their retirements and their Social Security programs and all this kind of stuff is now just funneled into this big pot where we can just use it for whatever we want, like Greta Thunberg or whatever. So what's really going on here? What's really going on, in my opinion, is the fact that people don't want you to focus on Jesus so much. They don't want you to live local, which is really the solution here, folks. The solution is that you believe Jesus, you are saved by the blood of the Lamb, and then you read your Bible, and then you live according to what the Bible teaches. The Bible's not going to teach you to put your life savings into something that's ran by a godless commie cabal that's then going to be able to use it for whatever purpose that they want to. It's going to tell you to own your land. It's going to tell you to have multiple businesses. It's going to tell you to use the profit motive that you have to take care of yourself to give excess to other people that don't have. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what live local is. That's what shortening your supply chain and recognizing where you are at in your foxhole. Now, I can already hear that there's some people that are saying, well, Jaron, I have to diversify my portfolio. I have to have the law of compounding. Jaron, you don't know because you don't live on a fixed income. You know, like all of the, no offense, all of the designed tropes to argue what I'm saying. I'm trying to tell you that the Bible doesn't teach you retirement. The Bible doesn't teach you having a nest egg. The Bible doesn't teach you to just recognize, I'm going to put my money here and it's going to be paying out and it's guaranteed to have that in the future. By doing this, you are hostaging yourself. You are putting your head through the noose. And now people that are in control of your IRAs, your 401ks, they can tax you into oblivion if you withdraw it. They've got you. You have entered into this noose. Now the noose is around your neck. And now that the noose is around your neck, whenever someone is telling you the noose is around your neck, you say, well, I have to do that because the law of compounding and the tax complications and all of these other kinds of things. And I don't doubt that that's the system. I'm saying that your response to what you're hearing right now, to live local, to do what the Bible says, to do these things, your responses are the trained responses that the godless commies want you to respond with so that you don't investigate your own position and recognize, holy crap, I'm in a really bad spot here. And if I may go one step further, this is where conservative media will sell you gold. This is where they will sell you preparedness. This is where they will sell you the promo codes and the corporate policies that say, if your investment is under, if your investment is vulnerable, invest with me, blah, blah, blah. I'm not an investment guy. I'm not going to pitch you on investment products. I'm trying to get you to recognize the common law. The common law is going to be based on the Bible. The Bible was the foundation for our constitutional system. When you recognize the common law and that you have your property and your property is being managed by other people, you have the ability to assert your property whenever you want to. And if it's done under fraudulent conditions, then the contract was null and void, and the fraudulent conditions that your money is now in is a voidable contract. That's what I'm trying to get at. I'm trying to get at you understanding the common law, understanding the Constitution, that if you understood that the Constitution allows you to say that this is my property and you enter into an agreement and somebody changes the terms of contracts arbitrarily, or if someone is doing something that you did not know that they would be doing, then that's fraud. And if they're using fraudulent ideas against you and the preservation of your property, that's fraud. They're violating your right to property. They're violating your trust. Therefore, it stands that you have the ability to go at them to get them to give you your stuff back, or to get them to not do with your stuff what you don't want them to do with your stuff. That's what I'm trying to say. And that's ultimately number three. That's what they don't want you to know. The godless commies do not want you to know common law. They do not want you to know how to petition. They do not want you to know how to assert your rights. They do not want you to know how to go directly at these people. What do they want you to know? What they want you to know is the belief system, the frame that most people seem to have. I don't want to say everyone. The frame most people seem to have is the right, the left, conservative, liberal, Democrat, Republican. We just need a vote for Donald Trump. Well, of course, I support President Trump. Amen. But President Trump isn't common law. President Trump doesn't assert my rights. I assert my rights. I want President Trump as the commander in chief. I want him as the president. He is not the one in charge of my rights. And he never will be. Never. No political person will be. What these godless commies do not want you to know is that the base that they're using is a central banking system. They generally, I think fundamentally, they are in love with the world. They are in love with the money. Matthew 6:24, you can't serve the master and mammon. Amen. These people hate Jesus. They've crafted a world based on laws and commerce and contracts and paid off politicians and propagandized media and public schools teaching, indoctrinating things away from the common law, away from the Constitution, away from the Bible. And now that people don't have that understanding, whenever they're being told this, they go, well, Jaron, you just don't know. I'm going to have to pay a bunch of taxes on this. Jaron, you just don't know. This is the 401k system. I have to have this. I need retirement. Whoa. I'm not trying to get you to lose your nest egg. I'm not trying to undermine your Social Security. Heavens knows that it has been stolen from you. It's been stolen from you. You have had your property taken from you without your permission in a scheme and a grift for decades. And if you're about to receive Social Security, God bless you. You are the one that I argue is most trespassed against. They've screwed you the most, because now you've worked and you've spent your productive years going, they're taking 6.8% of my paycheck. It better be there. And now it's not there. And now you got a dude saying you've been screwed, and you're going like, whoa, I need my Social Security. I'm not doubting you don't need your Social Security. My mom is an unemployed widow. My mother is an unemployed widow on Social Security. Do you not think that I don't know the harms, the tragedy, the violations that are going against are boomers and older? Don't you think that I don't know that? What I'm getting at is that the system is designed to trample your rights, and unless you assert those rights, you're not going to get your property back, and they're going to keep screwing you. And so whenever Joe Biden, yesterday, does his first veto, and he says that, well, you know, these policies don't allow, the MAGA Republicans won't let your monies go to climate change and all these other things. He's using the constitutional process, which he's doing, what he's doing here is constitutional. But what he's doing here is ultimately unethical and illegal, and the bill itself is a priori unconstitutional. Congress doesn't have a role in my property. Get out of my property. Stop dictating that my property has to go to freaking Greta Thunberg. Stop telling me that my property has to go to prop up black voices or LGBTQ voices or any of this other crap. It's my property. I gave it to them to steward for me, and you cannot tell them they have to put it in stuff that's gay. You can't do that. You can't do that. If you do that, you are violating my right to property. And if there's a part of the contract that allows them to backdoor that, I'm saying that's fraud. That's fraud. They defrauded you. Whenever you are working and you're making money and they take that money from you and they put it in Social Security, did you or did you understand, was it ever explained to you, well, while you're working for the massa, we're going to take your money and we're going to put it in this big pot over here, and that big pot, we're just going to take it. We're going to take it, we're going to put it over in all this other crap that you have moral agencies against. Because if the Bible says that it's sodomy and it's an abomination to the Lord, I can't take your property and then go spend it in stuff that's pro-sodomy. That's fraud. That's unethical. It's probably even a violation of your right participation in worship. But Americans don't think like this. Instead, Americans think, well, we better elect Republicans. We better get conservatives in office so that they pass conservative legislation. Oh. I'm not enslaved to this anymore. I'm not enslaved to it anymore. I am against that way of thinking. I am against the, well, we better elect Trump because he's going to be the one that saves America. He's going to do great things for America. He has done great things for America. I believe he will do great things for America. He ain't the one getting us out of this boat. He ain't the one solving this problem. He will do his part. God will use him to do his part. If you love Jesus, if you love America, you want to assert your rights and you want your freedom, you need to do your part. You need to do what God put you in charge of. And now that you have knowledge and now that you're learning, holy crap, they are taking my stuff. They are doing things that they shouldn't be doing. Now you have a duty. Now you have an opportunity. Now you get to bring God's wisdom to the situation. That's how I see things. See, I don't see things as, well, my rights are being trespassed. I can't do anything about that. No, 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 no. See, Jaron ain't a slave. You're not a slave. You ain't on the plantation working for the master. Days never finished. Master got me working. Someday master set me free. No, that ain't me and you. That ain't us. That is not us. We are not those people. Black people ain't those people. White people ain't those people. Yellow people, brown people, red people. We aren't them. We're made in God's image. And in America, our rights, our, the defense of our rights is the purpose of our government. If someone's trespassing your rights, then you need to crack the whip on the people that serve you. Because they swore to it. And the only power they have is because they swore to defend what God gave you. That's common law. That's America. That's freedom. That's patriotism. I want to add another dynamic to this. Because these godless commies hate Trump so much, they spend their money to get rid of him. So if you can dumb down the people, which I believe that the godless commies have done a very good job of that. This is where you get the right and the left dynamic. Well, I'm a conservative Republican and I don't want the radical left to destroy America. That's so overly simplified. That's overly simplified. That doesn't recognize your rights. It doesn't give glory to God, because what you're basically doing is you're taking the frame that you are either on the right or you are either on the left, and the entire supposition neglects the fact that there's an up. Here's an up. What's the up? Jesus, the gospel, God, the Bible. Let's do what God says. Did God say, I'm a conservative Republican? No. God says, follow me. Teach the nations to obey. You know, bear fruit worthy of repentance. Those types of things. Okay? So, if you are a godless commie, and you control the schools, and you propagandize, and you get people to not pay attention to the common law, you get them to forget the Constitution, you get them to think emotionally, you get them to think tribally, I'm on the right, you're on the left, you suck, you're bad, you're destroying America. Which I don't disagree, by the way. I don't dispute that. I don't dispute the godless way of thinking is destroying America. I don't dispute that at all. My point is that the godly way of thinking ain't standing up to the godless way of thinking in a godly way. The godly way of thinking is recognizing that there's something being lost and violated, but then they respond the way that the godless responds. We better vote more people into office. We better do the stuff with the politics and the government. Instead, it's like, you know what? Thus saith the Lord. Here is the gospel. I am going to bring the authority of we the people enshrined in the Constitution to bear down on top of your head. Right? Like, we don't think like that. We don't think about bringing the wisdom of God to the situation. Instead, what we think about is, holy crap, I'm losing something. How do I not lose something? Bring me the champion, Boagrius! It's like that scene from Troy, the very first scene when it's Brad Pitt playing Achilles against Boagrius. The guy's like, let's settle this matter the old way. Let's have your champion fight my champion. Achilles! Boagrius! And so you get the two champions and they fight each other, and whichever champion wins, that's it. That ain't America. America is, you could have the entire country, the entire government against Jaron. Jaron still has his rights. Jaron is still guaranteed his life, liberty, property without, you know, and due process. It's me against the entire world because we are a constitutional republic. So if you can get people to be stupid where they're calling for Boagrius, Achilles, if you can get people that stupid, if you can get people there, what would you do? You would then destroy their champion. You would then attack their champion. Who is the champion of the people, right, meow? It's Trump. Watch this. Commentary follows.
George Soros-funded Democrat Alvin Bragg is known as the worst DA in the country. His soft-on-crime policies have unleashed violent criminals on innocent citizens and turned New York City into a hellscape of crime, drugs, and chaos. However, Alvin Bragg's crimes against the people of New York may just be the tip of the iceberg. Before Bragg's election, it was revealed that Soros cut off $500,000 in funds to Bragg's campaign. It was reported that there were disturbing allegations leveled against Bragg by an unnamed woman. There was no investigation into the victim's charges by the Manhattan DA's office, and Alvin Bragg is yet to be charged.
I'm the only thing standing between the American dream and total anarchy, madness, and chaos, and that's what it is. I'm representing you. I'm just here. Always remember, they are coming after me. Because I am fighting for you. That's what's happening.
Now, I don't disagree that Trump is fighting for us. There's people that don't like Trump, whether he's mean. There's people that say that he's in on it, whether he's a light Luciferian or he's just Operation Trust guy or whatever. I don't do that. I look at the fact that we have the system we have from the education that has been forced down our throats and is bearing fruit from the minds of people that are looking at not God. Because people don't look at God, they don't read the Bible, they don't bring God's wisdom or talk about Jesus and the gospel into situations, they're now hearing politics that say there is a champion dynamic. And the champion dynamic is only the right, it's only the left. It's Boagrius! Achilles! Biden! Trump! Like, that's what it is. Biden! Trump! Like, there it is. And so now George Soros, who hates America, who hates Jesus, by the way, the dude doesn't know the gospel. He needs the gospel because if he dies, like anybody else who doesn't believe the gospel, he's going to go to hell. So here's a guy who's got multiple billions of dollars, who whenever he was in Germany, he worked with the Nazis to take money and stuff away from Jews, and now he uses a lot of that money to prop up district attorneys around the country to pervert the justice system and to target people who otherwise would want the betterment for America. Why? Because the dude profits off of America's destruction. And one of the ways that he gets incredible leverage and return on his investment is to prop up and get elected district attorneys. Alvin Bragg, the district attorney in Manhattan, is going after President Trump for a misdemeanor a couple of years ago, despite Manhattan being rife with crime, flooded with felonies, but he's doing it for the political value of getting Trump a misdemeanor so that Trump can't be on the ballot. Because there will be some squish Republicans who, although they want the best for America, they're not willing to do things for the mean Donald Trump because mean tweets are upsetting me. I'm so upset that he tweeted that Ron DeSantis partied with little underage girls. And so they see this. They see this, and so the Christian heritage, the Christian tradition is being manipulated for people because they want things to be nice. Be nice. Just be nice. Just be nice. You know what? If that homosexual wants to stand in the pulpit and preach, thus saith the Lord, besides not what the Bible says, but what their convictions want or how they want to climax, then you know what? Go ahead and do it because it's nice. It's nice to let these people pervert the church. It's nice to let these people stand in front of children and twerk and thrust and pivot and squeal and do all of these things because we don't want conflict. We don't like conflict because we've been effeminized and men have been isolated. They've been demasculinated. We don't talk about Jesus. We don't bring the gospel. And here we have one dude, Donald Trump, who has the bravado to go into politics after being a billionaire for his whole life. And now he's going to go into office and they're going to come at him with some story about some porn star hush money that she denies ever happened, that there's no proof that was paid by a third party, can't be tied back to Trump. Is this what we're really going to be doing? And so if George Soros is able to prop up these district attorneys and we have a champion style system, the fact that the godless commies are doing this, they don't want you to know this is not it. They don't want you to know this is not America. They want you to believe that President Trump is being attacked, and he is. They want you to believe that President Trump is the best hope that we have politically, and generally he is. They do not want you to investigate your education. They do not want you to look at your assumptions, your foundations. They don't want you to test your philosophies with the scriptures. They don't want you to be Bereans, to go to the Word and realize, holy crap, God's wisdom is so much better than this system. And this system is not what the founders gave us. The founders hated political parties. The founders never would have wanted the federal government to be the Leviathan that it is, puppeteering the subordinate governments. And they're not subordinate governments. The state governments are above the federal government. The federal government, the Constitution, only allows the Constitution to be the supreme law of the land for the things that are specified in the Constitution. If something's not specified in the Constitution, guess what? The federal government ain't got jack on it. That's healthcare. That's banking. That's education. Right there. Healthcare, banking, education. Boom. Not in the Constitution. So the federal government shouldn't have any jurisdiction on education, healthcare, or banking. And how do they control things? Healthcare, banking, education. But we don't use common law. We're calling for our champions. We're calling for our champions. Boagrius! Achilles! We want our champions to come do battle. And so all of our politics, all of our understanding is all about the champions. I support President Trump. I want him to win. Amen. But godless commie George Soros, who hates Jesus, denies the gospel, is undermining this country by installing, for pennies on the dollar, by the way, district attorneys who misapply the law, undermine justice, and they do it in pursuance of a privatized cabal of central bankers that have control of governments. And this is what they don't want you to think. This is what they don't want you to know. Do not teach the people what I just told you. Because if you did, if you gave them the common law, if you gave them the Constitution, if you equipped just the average person, if you equipped the average person with the common law, what would the average person do to these godless commies if they knew how to go after them? You don't need a champion. You need Christ. You need the common law. You need the Constitution. Amen. Now, I played a clip yesterday showing Dr. Anthony Fauci. I guess it was from a couple years ago. Going around as a door-to-door salesman for the vaccine, and he was talking to a dude that basically shut him down. I saw another part of that video, and so I want to follow back on that. We'll play the video. Commentary follows. Watch this.
What are you going to do about those other states?
Oh, my God. They're going to keep the outbreak smoldering in the country. It's so crazy. I mean, They're not doing it because they say they don't want to do it. They're Republicans. They don't like to be told what to do.
Right.
And we got to break that, you know, unpack that.
I've never heard Anthony Fauci say that he loved Jesus Christ. I don't know what his faith is. But this is the thinking that comes from a mind that is hostile towards the gospel. Because the gospel would recognize that Romans 14 is true. You and I have liberty. So if I am in Christ and you are in Christ, we can disagree. Amen. So it's not the fact that there's a lot of denominations. The fact that there's a lot of denominations mean that there's disagreement and liberty in the body. Step on that one. But Fauci is reflecting here a totalitarian desire for people to lockstep in charge. And because he is an unelected, or at the time of this video, was an unelected bureaucrat, what authority did the Constitution grant him to be in the presumption, to be in the position to presume that people should obey him? What, just because you think that you know stuff, Dr. Fauci? Just because you know that you're using taxpayer monies to do gain-of-function research without public accountability and to the contrary to public law, you think that you know better than people that are like, you know what, I'm going to bank on God's given immune system to survive a virus that you designed and unleashed that doesn't kill 99.98% of the people. I'm going to rely on God and not you, Fauci. Go screw yourself. Right? Like, he doesn't like that. Because he's trying to impose the mandate of government. He doesn't like the fact that free people disagree. He doesn't like the fact that free people could tell him, go pound sand, bro. I don't care what you say. Get out of my face. Now, I'll speak to one common law solution here. A private membership association. Now, I'm not selling anything here. I'm not selling. I don't have an affiliate link. A private membership association. I will cover this in Live Local Field Manual number 2. It is forthcoming. In fact, the Live Local Field Manual number 1 talks about private membership associations. Private membership associations, and this is at livelocal.store. Private membership associations use your First Amendment and blend it with your Fourth Amendment. So your right to peaceably assemble and your right to be secure in your persons, your papers, and your effects. It blends those two documents and it takes you out of the public into the private. When you do that, the government's police powers, think FBI, CIA, NSA, you know, Child Protective Services, state police, county sheriff, anything the government has to police is for the public. They're policing the public. If you are in the private, you are outside the jurisdiction of those police powers. So a private membership association is one of the most powerful things that everyone is granted the right to do. I shouldn't say granted the right. Their right to do that is guaranteed. And so if you form a private membership association, if someone from the outside of your membership association comes in and says, hey, you have to do stuff, you're like, sorry, bro, I'm in the private. I'm doing business in the private. That's what I'm going to be doing. I've signed a private membership association with livelocal.store and Humble Coffee in the sense that those businesses are going to be transported into the private. I'm going to be conducting business in the private with people online that I don't know. And that doesn't mean that you all have to know each other, that you all have to see each other. It means that the way that you're doing business is in the private. And whenever you tell the government, I'm in the private, leave me alone, they can't touch you. Now think about this. Run this program through your head. What does the government do to you that requires or presumes public knowledge? Taxes? Filing any form? Reporting stuff? I mean, like, think about all the stuff that you tell the government. Think about all the stuff that you're regulated on. Health codes, insurance. All this stuff that government tells you have to do, if it was private, the government couldn't tell you what to do. And so those laws that regulate public things, those laws don't regulate private things. So if the government were to come back and start to mandate that we're going to be taking more boosters or more jabs or more whatevers, if you are operating in the private, the government can't... Wow, that's amazing. Folks, this is why we're going common law. This is why I'm going to be talking about this stuff moving forward. This is what Live Local Field Manual number 2 will be all about. God bless. Now, I want to hit on another issue that I really care about, and that is immigration. I believe all immigration should be stopped. I want abortion to be stopped so that America can start repopulating itself with itself. I don't like butchering or murdering babies because I believe that God hates that. And at the same time, if you're butchering and murdering your own people in the womb, you're not repopulating yourself. If you're not repopulating yourself, then the big corporatists are going to open up the borders to bring people who don't belong here, here. This is what's happening to a much more significant degree in Europe. Europe, I would say, is probably 5 to 10 years ahead of America. Here is a group of Britoners, a group of Britons, speaking about this. Commentary follows.
Yes. All the men, all the ladies who gave their life for us all, for us all, but even the people who agree with it. Our history is getting thrown away for people who are illegal immigrants.
Yes. Yes.
For those people on the audio, thank you for listening, by the way. For those people on the podcast, this is a bunch of people, a bunch of Britain people, a bunch of British people, so a bunch of white people. And they're saying that their history, their traditions, their statutes, their heritage, it's all being undermined by people who aren't from there. They don't look like they're from there. They don't behave like they're from there. They don't speak like they're from there. They are not from there. It is not racist to say an African is not a Briton. It is not racist to say if you are from Saudi Arabia, you are not from Britain. It is not racist to say that if you are from Asia, you are not American or you are not British. Now, America, we had people come here to build a better life because we wanted to populate the country. But even then, most of the people that came to America didn't come from Africa, didn't come from Saudi Arabia, didn't come from Asia, didn't come from Russia. They came from Europe. They came from Europe. Most of the people who settled America came from Europe. So here you have the auspice of this racial component. And this is where the Godless Commie, people who hate Jesus, get a lot of moral leverage on racism. They use racism and the evils of racism to beat people into submission and to censor them. But here's where Christians can push back. If you love Jesus, God put you where you are. If you were put in Africa, that's where God put you. If you were put in Asia, that's where God put you. That doesn't mean you don't have the freedom to go from Asia to America or from Africa to America. It doesn't mean that you can't travel. It doesn't mean you can't go places. But it means that whenever you go places, where you're going from is not where you're going to. And so if you are leaving where you're from, you are leaving where you're from. Which means you're not bringing your culture, you're not bringing your language, you're not bringing your behaviors. You're going to another place, you're going to someone's home. And the loving thing is to respect that the people that are where you are now going to, they are the ones in charge there. They are the ones with those norms. They are the ones with that tradition and that culture and the heritage and those things. Now, this is where people will then be undermined because they'll say, well, Jaron, the white people hit the Native Americans and the Native Americans were here first. Which Native American tribe was not at war with another Native American tribe? Which Native American tribe had complete dominance over everything and had well established the culture that was there and not in war with other people? Right? So there was war in America before, you know, Americans came over, before European settlers came over, before Christians came over to settle them, right? Like, the world's a sinful place. You're not going to be able to find a place that was just always in peace where things are. Okay, so then you're right now going to take that argument, and you're now going to project it into here, and you're going to say, well, Jaron, they're at war with you right now. They're just overtaking you, and you don't like it. You're recognizing that you're losing things, and because you're being defeated or conquered, you don't like it, to which I would say, amen. Let's fight back. To which I would say, yeah, absolutely. I completely agree that people who come in here on a mass migration level are conducting population invasion. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because that's what's happening. That's what's happening in Great Britain. And this is not a racist thing to say this. This is recognizing that the way that this country is not the way that it is becoming. It's not the way that it is right now. And mass migration is the only thing that's changed this. So you need to stop accepting the premise of racism, Racism comes from Darwin. Darwin hated Jesus. Darwin thought everyone comes from monkeys, and Darwin thought that different races were their proximity to monkeys from an evolutionary perspective. Well, I'm not a Darwinian guy. I don't have Darwinian presuppositions. I have no qualms saying God made black people black, and he made white people white, and he made Asian people, or he made brown people, or Malaysian people, or Australian people. I have no qualms saying that. None. Because God is a God of diversity and creativity. He wants glory from all sorts of different cultures, all sorts of different nations. I've got no qualms saying that. He loves that. That's because he made it that way. And if you think about it, whenever the gospel is going to go, now the gospel is going to cut through all languages. The gospel is going to go through all nations, all tribes and tongues and peoples. God's going to have obedience and glory from all nations because they're going to recognize that God's wisdom and the power of the gospel is what's best. What they're not going to do is hodgepodge everything and become one meshed, amorphous, indistinct kind of whatever goes people. It's going to be like, no, these are these people, and that's their nation, and they love Jesus. These are these people, and that's their nation, and they love Jesus. These are these people, and that's their nation, and they love Jesus. People need to start from the scriptures. Stop giving your ground to people who hate Christ. Argue the Bible. Stand with the Bible. God made nations. He made people for their nations, and all of those nations, because of the gospel, because God wants it to be that way, will worship and obey Jesus. You don't have to just accept the fact that lots of people are coming to your country because you have to be loving. Recognize what God wants. God wants nations. He wants those nations to obey him. Matthew chapter 28, Psalm chapter 86, verse 9. The Bible recognizes nations. Revelation 21, verse 24. All nations will worship Jesus. That means that there are distinct nations, distinct peoples, distinct cultures, distinct languages. But they're all unifying at the cross, which is the way it should be. Do not give your foundation to people who hate Jesus. Now, a couple different things that I want to point out here is the fact that there is a support of dangerous ideas. One of the support of dangerous ideas is that Kabbalah Harris, who's a pantheist and she hates Jesus, she wrote a letter March 13 to this person, Dylan Mulvaney. This is the dude that we played on Price is Right the other day, the guy that's a man, you know, gallivanting as a woman. And basically there's this letter from the vice president talking about grateful courage, dedication, blah, 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 blah. So this is just sanctioning Satanism right here. There is a common idea that's against Christianity. Another idea is that this Christian guy right here, he teaches Christian theology. He's a lecturer. He was sacked and threatened with counterterrorism referral after tweeting that homosexuality is invading the church. Now, I could go on this further, and I have this article pulled up, but I don't want to go into it a little bit more. I just want to point out the fact that if you are a biblical Christian, if you love Jesus, if you're faithful and you proclaim the gospel, if you are obedient to Jesus in any way, the world hates you. The world hates you from John chapter 7, verse 7, whenever Jesus said, "The world doesn't hate you, the world hates me, for I testify that his deeds are evil." But the Bible also says that the world will hate you because you are in him. Christians are going to stand out. And I believe America is post-Christian. I believe that America is in a position now where it is openly hostile towards Christians. Christians need to know common law. They need to know the Constitution. They also need, more importantly, to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that's how people are going to be changed. That's how God is going to work through hearts, circumcise those hearts, and change the behaviors and the beliefs of those people. Save them from hell, and then get them to behave like Christians. So preach the gospel, his death, his burial, his resurrection. But this political persecution of Christians should be evidence that Christians are on the chopping block. We are now post-Christian, and now it is hunting season for Christianity. It is hunting season against Christians. This is why I fully embrace the term Christian nationalism. It's also why I wrote the book that is forthcoming, Christian Nationalism is Inevitable. I believe that the gospel is the only way to salvation. I believe that the Bible is true. And because I believe those things, because I believe the Bible says that the gospel takes over the world and people love Jesus because that's God's wisdom and that's God's want, that people will come around to figuring out that the gospel and the Bible is better than anything else. But that also means that there needs to be a process by which God's wisdom is applied in tension, in contrast, with not God's wisdom. And so not God's wisdom, the worldly wisdom, is against Christians. That's going on right now. And so I had a video. I'm not going to play it because it's disgusting. But there is a video of Dr. Phil, or an episode with Dr. Phil, where a father on the left, as you're looking at it, the bald guy in the suit, has his son on the right wearing a dress gallivanting as a woman. This is becoming more common. And Dr. Phil, I'm ashamed to say it, he's from Vinita, Oklahoma. So this is an Oklahoman on prominent national television acting as a therapist, advancing a godless worldview, trying to normalize the fact that the bigoted father who recognizes only male and female, like the Bible, like God created, the bigoted father is so bigoted and hateful, and we need to help him overcome his bigotry. We need to help him overcome his bigotry, and we all need to accept this man who now thinks he's a, like, this is one of the evil things going on. Hold your ground, stand firm. What I wanted to do, though, is I wanted to do this video. I wanted to show you this video of a FBI whistleblower. And this FBI whistleblower is speaking to an ideological sifting, a separation, a culling out, that if you but dare show yourself as someone who loves Jesus or someone who's not going to snap to what the government says, you will be an outcast. This is from Robbie Starbuck's, podcast, commentary follows.
Do you believe that this is an ideological sifting that's occurring that is purposeful to shake out a certain ideology from our institutions in order to make it easier to consolidate power and really carry out the tyrannical things that they want to carry out, that we've seen them beginning to carry out? What can you say to that? Without question, I agree with you. The things kind of became evident to me in October of 2021. It was when the vaccine mandate was rolled out across the federal government. And there was this option that was put before us that we could elect for to request a religious accommodation or a medical accommodation. And we had to attest to whether or not we were vaccinated against coronavirus. So I'm unvaccinated. I requested a religious accommodation, put in all the paperwork, put in the attestation. But I was uncomfortable doing it, and I even remarked to my wife at the time, I said, they're building a registry of people who are outwardly religious. And then when we applied for it, it was even asking you what your religion is, and what are specific scriptures that you can cite. So they were very, very, there was a lot of scrutiny that went into this. And I even heard later on that there was comments made about, well, there seems to be a lot of people finding Jesus now that the vaccine's going to be required. So I was very uncomfortable with where things stood because I felt like they were going to single out folks who held certain religious beliefs or beliefs about, you know, bodily autonomy. And then, you know, we flash forward to now, right prior to my suspension, I had sit-down meetings with people that were in pretty, you know, elevated levels of management in the FBI, and cited, look, I've been trained to identify potential abuses of power. It's incumbent on me to uphold the Constitution and to call us out if I believe that we're violating people's rights. And I said, my duty is to the Constitution and to my oath of office. And the response was, your duty is to the FBI.
Yeah, obviously. That's what's going on. Now, this is just a whistleblower, so he's got the chutzpah to actually tell the truth about it. There's a lot that I wanted to actually just go slow through that. The most important thing that I want to point out here is that it's about what right is being violated. Because a lot of people will see what just happened and they'll say that the government can't do that. Which, of course, they can. They will say the FBI doesn't have a corporate charter. It shouldn't be a chartered constitutional agency. And you'd be like, right. But it is. And they do stuff. So how do you, as a people, how do you, as someone who's made an image of God with the constitutional republic and rights guaranteed by that constitution, with officers that swear an oath to the constitution, how do you do stuff to it? How do you wield that power? This is where we're going to be teaching how to petition. This is where we're going to be teaching how to do notices and affidavits. This is where I'm going to be teaching what the common law is. It's coming. Live Local Field Manual 2.0. I'm waiting for Battlefield Effects for me. Once I get Battlefield Effects for me, I will be more specific. So I'm not going to be specific right now because it's going to take some time. But I also want to make sure that I can say, do this, get this outcome. Do this, get that outcome. Because one of the problems right now is that our system is so godless and it's so evil, there's so much tyranny, that whenever you start to resist with truth and with the Constitution and with common law, there's going to be blowback. And so I don't want to just unleash people if they don't know what to come or if I can't speak from a position of experience. But the violation here is not the fact that there is a whistleblower from the FBI talking about an ideological shifting. It's the presumption that government can know anything about you to the extent that it would be detrimental to your faith. If you're a Muslim serving in the FBI doesn't have any right to know that you're a Muslim. If you're, you know, a Hindu, Shinto, Buddhist, atheist guy, the government doesn't have any authority to know that. What's it matter? What's it care? Now, I say that as a biased Christian. I say that as a Christian who wants the gospel to be, you know, what everyone looks to. There are so many rights violations in what this whistleblower is talking about. The problem is our thinking has been reduced down to where we see violations against our rights, but we don't express them as violations against our rights. We express them as violation and tyranny of government. We are able to see the government is out of its yard. The dog is off its leash. We can say the dog is off its leash. What we don't do is say the dog is disobeying the master. That's what we don't say. We don't say the master put the dog on the leash. The dog, therefore, needs to be on the leash. We say the dog is off the leash and that's bad. No, the dog has violated and disobeyed the master. The problem is the dog has taught the master that the master can't discipline the dog. I'm about to discipline some dogs. Amen. Last little bit, we covered a lot of different things today. I want to end on a good note. So for those of you on the podcast, I'll talk about it after. But commentary follows. This is great. Watch this. It's a video of a little boy, probably, I don't know, 2-3 years old, and he's praying right before a meal. I don't know the context. I don't know if it's at a church. I don't know if it's at a school or whatnot, but it's a little boy, and he's just praying fervently. Little boy praying fervently to God. And I just want to stress the idea that no matter how bad things get or where the headlines are, or even my commentary, if it's talking about big, bad, evil things, God is in charge. God is absolutely in charge, and you have to understand that. If you do not have a relationship with Jesus, I'll talk about the gospel here in a second, but for those of you all who are my brothers and sisters in the Lord, you need to not doubt that God is here. You need to not doubt that God is in charge, and you need to never doubt that he is returning. Don't ever doubt that. My father passed away February 1, a couple of weeks ago. He's with Jesus. He is absolutely with Jesus, and you need to believe that. You need to have faith in that. You need to understand that God has us, God has the world in his hands. There is nothing that happens that God is not in charge of or in control over. It might not make sense and we might not understand what God is doing, but that does not mean that God is not in charge. And this little boy, what he's doing right here is so encouraging to me because it's the simple faith. It's the simple faith of people that matters. That's what God wants. God doesn't want you to be the smartest person in the world. He wants you to be faithful. He wants you to trust him. He wants you to understand that he is in control and that he is working. He has not forgotten you. He has not left you alone. He's not going to leave you alone, and he's not going to forget you. That no matter how many bad things you go through, God is good, and God will absolutely work through that. For those of you listening who don't know Jesus, consider the fact that Jesus is God. He was prophesied. The Old Testament for hundreds and thousands of years leading up to Jesus' earthly ministry was telling that he was coming. He was telling us what he was going to do, telling us how he would do it, telling us all of those things. So you can't say it was a fluke. You can't say that it didn't come from nothing because there are hundreds of prophecies from the Old Testament that validated that he is who he is. History, antiquity would verify the fact that Christ died on the Roman cross. More evidence of that than Julius Caesar lived and walked the earth. Think about that. But the issue is, you and I are sinners. We have sinned and trespassed against God. We have separated ourselves because we love what we want more than what God says. Instead of obeying God and doing what He wants us to do, we have done what we wanted to do. For me, it used to be porn. It used to be the fact that I loved pornography. Whenever I was in Afghanistan, I'd watch pornography because that was a great way to pass the time and to get a high from all the horrible garbage that was going on. For me currently, it's the fact that I'm angry. I'm angry about a lot of things. I have a developed anger, whether that was from combat or whatever. But I get mad a lot. I get really mad. I get really mad that my dad is gone. I feel lonely that my father is gone. He was my mentor. He's my dad. He's my friend. So I don't have that counselor. I don't have that wisdom. That hurts. That hurts a lot. But that doesn't mean that I'm not alone. God is good. He's provided me a mom. He's provided me family. He's provided me other things. But even if everybody that I knew died and I didn't know anybody and I'm stranded on an island, God's still going to give me my health. He's going to give me my opportunities. He's going to give me the opportunity. He's going to give me what He gives me. And even for those people saying right there, Jaron, that's kind of a horrible existence. Think about this. If you consider eternity compared to whatever suffering you have here on earth, eternity is right now on earth is nothing compared to eternity. So even if, like my father, your legs were chopped off, your fingers fell off, you were ravaged and withered by chemo, modern oncology, stupid doctors that would rather have big hospitals instead of actually treat cancer as a metabolic disease instead of a genetic disease, if you had withered down to 95 pounds, if you couldn't wash yourself, cleanse yourself, move, if you could barely talk, if you had needles pricking and prodding you and you were in constant pain, even if you are in those conditions for 100 years, that 100 years doesn't compare at all to eternity with Jesus. And that for believing that Jesus is good, that He died on the cross and He took your sins, that His shed blood washes away everything that you've done against God, you get to be with Jesus immediately, forever, whenever you die. So when people look at the gospel, what they normally do is they say, I don't want Jesus because if I take Jesus, then I have to obey Him. And the answer is, yeah, you bet. You absolutely have to obey Him. If He comes down from heaven to earth, and He did, if He lives a sinless life because you are nothing but a sinner, and He did, if He lovingly takes the cross to die in your place to receive the wrath that He does not deserve so that you do not have to ever receive that wrath ever, not even mentioning for eternity, and He did, then yeah, you bet you're going to obey Him. You absolutely bet you're going to obey your Lord and Savior. Why? Because you love Him. Because you get to. Why wouldn't you? If He saves you from eternal torment, why would you not live your life for Him? And if you love Him as a result of Him saving you and giving you His life of righteousness, why wouldn't you step into that? Why wouldn't you take ownership of that? Why wouldn't you not use that all the time in every place that you were? Of course you would. That's what means that. That's what being born again means, is that you believe the gospel. And whenever you believe the gospel, you're saved. And whenever you're saved, now your life is not your own. Now you get to live it for Jesus. That's why Christians say things that the world thinks is stupid, because the world doesn't think about Jesus. The world thinks about itself. So here's a Christian talking about what Jesus says and what the Bible says. Of course the world's going to hate me. Of course the world's going to hate you. It doesn't matter. What matters is Christ said it. The Bible says it. Christ wants it. He expects it. And He's going to get it. Believe the gospel, my friends. Hey, thanks for watching. If you want to, please go to Humble Whole Bean Coffee, humblewb.coffee, humblewb.coffee. Delicious air roasted coffee. Most coffees are garbage. Most coffees have East Palestined themselves. Put it in a metal bucket, twirl it around, set it on fire. Don't do that. Don't give yourself cancer and drink bad coffee. I don't know if that's the case or not. I just know that I don't want a bunch of preservatives and a bunch of fake stuff in my coffee. I want real coffee, air roasted coffee, humblewb.coffee. humblewb.coffee. Of course, members, and the best blessing for me is to be a member, monthly member at livelocal.store. God bless you, friend. Lord willing, I'll be back tomorrow. Until then, I am Jaron Jackson. I do love America. Don't quit. Go to war.